Welcome to another Higher Standards. I feel so weird doing this. We don't have Jason this week, but this is Renee. Jason is off traveling for work for the next 2 weeks, week and a half, something to that effect. So he won't be here this week or next week for the episodes, but I do have somebody else here.
Hi, Renee.
Hi. and next week we'll probably try and round somebody in for this, just because... Why not?
Yeah.
We're boring.
No, we're not boring. We just like to bring people on to make it more interesting. Yeah, spin right. It positive, that's all.
So this week we had a Star City Games over out in the Midwest in Indianapolis, correct?
Yeah. Finally some standard. Jeez.
I know, right? And then we also had a GP that was standard in Providence, and we'll get to that a little later. But who won this week's Star City Open?
So it's a name. I heard that he was a judge. I just heard this on Facebook not too long ago. But he's a level 2 judge. His name is Eric Rill. Am I correct about that? I thought, were they talking about GP, level 2 judge? Nope, they said the GP. So Eric Rill is probably not a judge. So sorry, judgedom, don't come down on me. But Eric Rill, and he's a pretty known player on the SCG circuit, won first place at Indianapolis with Green Red Dragons. So this seems more along your side of things, Renee. So you want to take this?
Yeah, sure. We have 28 creatures, 2 Ashcloud Phoenix, 4 Death Mist Raptor, 2 Den Protector, 4 Elvish Mystic, 4 Goblin Rival Master, 4 Rattleclaw Mystic, 4 Storm Breath Dragon, and 4 Thunderbreak Regent. And then we have 23 lands with 1 Haven of the Spirit Dragon, and then 2 Mana Confluence, and the rest are kind of in line with what you would expect.
Yep.
4 Draconic War, 3 Crater's Claws, and 2 Roast. In the sideboard, we have Den Protector, Reclamation Sage, Outpost Siege, Twin Bolt, Wild Slash, Chandra Pyromaster, Nissa World Waker, Xenagos the Reveler, Arc Lightning, Barrage of Boulders, and Roast.
So, go back to Twin Bolt, because I know that's not something we normally see.
No, and we've talked about it previously, yeah. And it is 1 and a red, an instant. Twin Bolt deals 2 damage divided as you choose among 1 or 2 target creatures and or players.
I think the last time we've seen this was in Jeskai, wasn't it?
I think so. That sounds right.
Yeah. Interesting sideboard call, but hopefully...
There's something missing here.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I'll let you announce it.
There's no Dragon Lord Atarka in any of the 75 of this deck.
What? That's crazy. So it does pass our dragon count because it's got 8 with Stormbreath Dragon and Thunderbreak Regent. But yeah, no super dragons, no lords.
Instead, we have an Ashcloud Phoenix, which I thought we had seen like the last of that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess right now with Death Mist Raptor, it's got a good place because of the fact that you can just flip it and get back more than just itself.
Yeah.
And I mean, I liked Ashcloud Phoenix, but I never thought it was. It's standard playable, but with all the dragons flying around, I didn't ever thought it was going to be that good. And it took him to first, so there must be something going on. Maybe he could morph it at the end of turn, deal 2 damage, and then finish off with a Crater's Claws.
That's, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here.
There are. I just find it very interesting. We have enough dragons to really reach Draconic Roar.
Yep.
Ultimate mode. And we do have a lot of flip cards because the Rauclaw Mystic flips as well.
Yeah, that's true. And that's another thing. Why not put Atarka in here? Because he's got 4 Mystics and 4 more Mystics. So he's got ramp. I guess he just felt that everybody's playing Atarka and maybe this is a way around it by going faster.
Yeah. I could definitely see that being the case, or Atarkas are occasionally kind of hard to come by, so maybe he just couldn't get them.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I do like in the sideboard how he has the selection of Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's from a really good toolbox to deal with a lot of different decks.
Yes. So in the board, he's running two Den Protectors in the main. He's got one in the board. I feel like it should almost be another Outpost Siege due to control matchups that he might find. But he probably knows the lay of the land around Indianapolis, and he might not be seeing that much, depending on the meta.
Yeah, although I'm not sure why we have another Den Protector in the sideboard.
That's what I mean. It seems kind of out of place. Like, why not just have that in the main if you're going to have another anyway? But congrats, Eric Rill, on first place at the Star City Games Indianapolis standard event. And moving on to second is Jamie Kelly with Mardu Dragons. He's running 20 creatures, 4 Goblin Realm Master, 3 Seeker of the Way, 3 Soulfire Grandmaster, seeing a lot of play nowadays, 4 Stormbreath Dragon, 4 Thunderbreak Regent, and 2 Kolaghan the Storm's Fury. He's running 26 lands, got a lot of basics, 3, 4, 5. Then he's got 2 Haven of the Spirit Dragon, and the rest are the Mardu colors. 14 spells, 4 Crackling Doom, 4 Draconic Roar, 2 Foul Tongue Invocation, 1 Murderous Cut, and 3 Thoughtseize. In the sideboard, he's running 2 Outpost Siege, 2 Kolaghan's Command, 2 Ultimate Price, 2 Elspeth Sun's Champion, 4 Anger of the Gods, 1 Crux of Fate, 1 Duress, and 1 Read the Bones. This, I feel like, is a deck like right after Jason's Heart. Too bad he can't be here.
I know, right? I really like this, and I feel like we're going to keep seeing more of these Mardu-type builds pop up.
Yeah, and on Saturday I was watching this coverage, and it showed that Jeff Hoogland was playing a Mardu Dragons type of deck. And I didn't even notice if he was in the top 8, but Jeff Hoogland was playing the Mardu Dragons, and he said that Soulfire Grandmaster is a bomb because of the fact that you're getting to the land because you've got Goblin Rival Master and Seeker of the Way to keep you alive. And if you get Soulfire Grandmaster there, being able to Murderous Cut a second time and buy back or Crackling Doom multiple times is amazing.
And I don't think we'll get to see this deck in the top 8 of the GP. But there were a bunch of people running a Jeskai build that actually kind of had the same base of Rabble Master, Soulfire Grandmaster.
Cool.
But slipping in the blue dragons and like Mantis Riders instead of some of these other pieces. And it was just as resilient.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it.
So Soulfire Grandmaster, like we said, is a real thing.
Yeah. Very underrated as soon as it was spoiled. Other than the fact that the price was valued very high due to pre-release, but after it was actually let out into the wild, it didn't do much, and now it's coming back. In third, we've got Rajah Suleiman.
Suleiman. I think.
All you.
All right. He is playing Abzan Midrange, which has 3 Den Protectors, 4 Fleecemane Lion, 4 Sea Drino, 4 Courser of Kruphix, and a Tassigar the Golden Flame. Bang. Bang. And then we have 3 Planeswalkers in the form of some Elspeth Sun's Champion, 4 Abzan Charm, 2 Bioblight, 1 Dremoka's Command, 4 Heroes Downfall, 1 Ultimate Price, 4 Thoughtseize, 25 lands with just an Urborg. That's kind of the only thing out of, not even out of character, but the only special thing.
Yeah.
We've got a Mastery of the Unseen, Dremoka's Command, Murder's Cut, Ultimate Price, a Johnny Mentor of Heroes, Garrick Apex Predator, yeah! A Soren Solemn Visitor, 2 Drown in Sorrow, 2 Duress, End Hostilities, Glare of Heresy, Read the Bones, Self-Inflicted Wound.
And
there
wasn't
a number, exactly. It was all one.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got 2 cards that have 2 and the rest that Renee said were singletons, which is definitely a toolbox deck. I feel like he knew exactly what he was going up against. He's got the Planeswalkers here are odd. So you feel like he's just for control, the Planeswalkers? Like, where would you put it, putting Garrick's? You know what I mean?
I'm sitting here reading. I don't know if I would put him... Well, yeah, I would put him in against control, or I would put him against a deck that's going wider than you.
Okay.
That you don't mind destroying creatures.
I feel like the Elspeth is already going to take care of that.
But it doesn't gain you the life.
Okay.
And it, like, Garrick is really versatile in the green-black decks because he destroys a planeswalker, he makes a dude with death touch.
Yeah.
Death-touching dude, or he destroys a creature and you gain the life equal to its toughness. And a lot of the toughness in this format is much higher than power.
Yeah.
So, he's just really versatile, he's pretty resilient starting off at 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then just having 2 ups is awesome, and then just 1 down, which still doesn't kill him, but can get you out of range.
Yeah, he's definitely worth the 7 mana to cast. I would like to know what Rajah put him in against. But other than that, everything is... The sideboard's definitely toolboxed for exactly what he wants. But other than that, the Abzan midrange has stayed the same. I like how they're going more towards 3 Elspeth instead of more Sorin and less Elspeth. Because... all the creatures nowadays are dragons, so you're going to be able to take them out with her.
Yeah, and ability. I think earlier in the season we had it where it was a lot of fast decks.
Yep.
So Sorin was more applicable because of the lifelink.
Exactly.
And now we're moving towards a little bit longer format with a little bit bigger creatures.
Yeah. In 4th place, this is Renee's deck that she's thinking about playing, Kent Ketter. Placed 4th with green black dragon. So I'll go over this list.
Did he place 4th?
That's what it says.
Because when you click on it, it says first. It says first,
yeah. That's very odd.
Yay.
So hold on. Wait, let me just go back to Eric Rill is your champion. Yeah. Okay. So yes, 4th place, Kent Ketter, a name known around the SCG games, is playing green black dragons. He has 27 creatures, 4 Deathmist Raptor, 3 Den Protector, 4 Seder Wayfinder, 4 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Courser of Krufix, 2 Dragonlord Atarka, 2 Dragonlord Jamoka, 3 Dragonlord Ojutai, 1 Dragonlord Slumgar. So that's more than just green black, but with Sylvan Caryatid and some of the lands that he's putting in, he'll be able to hit that. He's got 25 lands, 4 happen to be Haven of the Spirit Dragon, because you need to hit those dragon colors, and 1 Urborg Tome of Yawgmoth. Now, spells, he's got 1 Foul-Tongued Invocation, 2 Hero's Downfall, 2 Murderous Cut, and 3 Thoughtseize. In the board, he's running 3 more Foul-Tongued Invocation, I almost said Talfung Invocation, so 3 Ultimate Price, 1 more Dragonlord Jamoka, 1 more Dragonlord Slumgar, 2 Tasigur the Golden Fang, 1 Ugin the Spirit Dragon, 2 Drown in Sorrow, and 2 Duress. This deck looks just as fun as when we spoiled the Japanese or Chinese finals winner, the Dragon Megamorph deck.
I think that was it Shanghai?
Yeah, Shanghai. Okay. That's it.
This is really just the 5-color blue dragons with a base of green instead.
Yeah. I mean, because green's going to get you to the mana you need and to 7 mana as fast as you can.
Yeah. And then Chris Lansdell was actually writing about a similar deck which had even more green and less black in it.
Yeah.
So they're dragons. They're everywhere.
And rightfully so. I like the green black dragons because of the fact that it has more of a control element in the spells.
Reactionary control, I would say, instead of proactive control.
Yeah.
Which also allows you to decide if, is this thing really a threat, or can we forget about it and cast my dragon instead?
Exactly.
Instead of having to leave up mana for one of the counter spells.
Yeah, it gives you a lot more options. So, is this something you're looking at sleeving up?
Maybe. I'm so torn.
You're torn, but you're torn between dragon decks, or you're torn between other things?
So, I played Abzan for the longest time, and then I haven't really played any serious standard Magic in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been caught up in all these other things going on, and there isn't a lot of standard going on right now whenever TPTQ is modern.
Yeah.
So I'm torn between something along these lines or something along the lines of an Abzan control mid-rangey type deck, where you wind up in that Elspeth range, or doing something just totally new and off the wall.
Cool.
I don't know.
Alright.
This is my life.
In fifth. I'll let you take the name.
We have... Why? I don't want to... Oh, you mean the person's name.
Yes.
Xiang Chen.
I know you don't want to go over the deck either.
And he was playing Bant Heroic.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, alright. We haven't seen this in a while. I guess we'll go over it real quick.
Okay.
2 Battlewise Hoplite, 4 Favored Hoplite, 4 Hero of Heroes, 2 Lagona Band Trailblazer, 4 Seeker of the Way, nothing new and fascinating in Land. We've got 3 Aqueous Form, 2 Ordeal of Heliod, 4 Ordeal of Thassa, 1 of Johnny's Presence, 4 Defiant Strike, 4 Dromokus Command, 4 God's Willing, 1 Stubborn Denial, 1 Treasure Cruise. And then in the sideboard, we have 2 Monastery Mentor, which is kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
1 Aqueous Form, 2 Encase in Ice, 2 more Ordeal of Heliod, 1 Ajani's Presence, 3 Disdainful Stroke, 2 Stubborn Denial, 1 Treasure Cruise, and an Island.
So, as much as we hate this deck, I do have to give it kudos that it's playing 4 Dromokus Command.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. So in lands, he's got 4 Windswept Heath. Obviously, you're going to be going for plains more than anything, but he's got 1 forest in the deck. So he has ways to get that Dromokus Command as well as 4 mana confluence. I really like that addition. I mean, I remember when they were splashing red, I believe, and they were doing a Jeskai Heroic for the double strike, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I think Dromokus Command is a better suit, just because it gives you a lot more availability with whatever's going on.
Yeah, so we had seen this deck along with the Jeskai one kind of sort of popping up occasionally, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a similar land base where it mostly relied off of the mana confluence for its green.
Yeah.
But they typically weren't running 4 Dromokus Command, and I think that's really powerful in this deck because you can prevent all damage a sorcery is doing.
Yep.
So the burn that is going to hit all your dudes, and you can put a 1/1 counter on it.
Yeah.
And then it gets a 1/1 counter from the...
The command as well.
The command and the... Yeah. So the command and the heroic. Or, you know, and sacking an enchantment and getting rid of that Mastery of the Unseen or even that Corsair Crucifix that's just blocking the way early game.
Yeah, exactly. And keeping them off of lands is always good.
Yes. So I definitely think that this is a better evolution of this deck.
Agreed.
I really enjoy Monastery Mentor being in the sideboard because it allows you to go, like, even if you're just going to be casting the one spell a turn, you're still getting an extra dude a turn.
Yeah.
On top of 1/1 counters. So I feel like there are definitely places you want to bring this in, such as when the person has targeted removal.
Yeah, and
being, or targeted burn.
And being able to have more than one creature with prowess on the battlefield in this deck is not too bad.
No, not a bad thing at all.
Cool. All right, moving on. In 6th place is Chris Anderson. I feel like we've seen that name before.
There are lots of Andersons.
That's true. And he is also in 1st place, apparently, underneath his name. But
congratulations!
Everybody got first. So, wait, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go down to the 28th place. Nope, sure, place 28th. All right.
So. But we look at the 8th place person, and let's hear. They are actually in 8th place.
All right, so the first 5 people got... 6 people got 1st place. But Chris Anderson plays 6th with Green-Red Devotion. His creatures are 33... with 3 Deathmoth Raptor, 4 Elvish Mystic, 3 Genesis Hydra, 1 Hornet Queen, 4 Radiclaw Mystic, 4 Sylphin Caryatid, 4 Whisperwood Elemental, 4 Courser of Krufix, 3 Dragonlord Atarka, 3 Pelucranus World Eater, 3 Planeswalkers in the form of 3 Xenagos the Reveler, 24 lands, 4 Nykthos Shrine to Nyx, of course, and that is all. So he's going full creature base and 3 Planeswalkers. In the board, he's got 1 Arbor Colossus, 3 Den Protector, 3 Hornet Nest, seeing a lot of play lately, 2 Plummet, interesting, 1 Windstorm, also interesting, 2 Nissa Worldwaker, 1 Ugin Spirit Dragon, and 2 Roast. Now, Windstorm, for those of you that are driving and don't have time to look it up on your phone because you would crash, is X and a green. Instant, uncommon from Khans of Tarkir, and Windstorm deals X damage to each creature with flying. Not too hard to do when you have Nykthos out.
Windstorm is exactly what these decks need in the sideboard.
So you feel like it should have more than one?
Yeah, I almost want to cut out some number of these roasts.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
or maybe 1 Plummet and 2 Windstorm?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems really good.
Although, just to... I see where the Plummet comes in really handy as well, just because of the, destroying, right on off the bat, instead of having to take a turn off to generate that much mana.
Very true.
It's definitely awesome, but Windstorm gets around Ojutai's Hexproof.
That's true.
So, that's... I feel it depends on how much you're going to see Ojutai around.
Yeah. Speaking of getting around Ojutai's Hexproof, that will be one of the spoiled cards I want to reveal today.
Okay.
Spoilers. Alright, so moving on. 7th place is Corey Castelli.
With Green-White Devotion. Oh, he's in 8th place.
Oh my goodness. Alright.
So he's in 7th.
Yes.
It's just that when you look under his name, it's an 8th.
Alright, so there's computer problems all over the place. We'll just blame it on the computers because we don't know who to blame.
Yes. So we have Green-White Devotion instead of Green-Red Devotion.
I want to hear this one.
We've got an Arbor Colossus, 4 Death Mist Raptor, 2 Den Protector, 4 Elvish Mystic, 2 Genesis Hydra, 3 Sylvan Caryatid, 1 Teemer Sabertooth, 3 Voyaging Satyr, 4 Whisperwood Elemental, 4 Courser Krufix, 3 Pelucranus World Eater, and a Nylea.
There she is.
Yeah.
Finally.
And then we've got 2 Mastery of the Unseen and 2 Dromoka's Command. We have a lot of green-white lands and 4 Nykthos. So are we really... Why don't we have a Dromoka? Okay, hold on. Let me get to the sideboard.
Okay.
We've got an Arbor Colossus, 2 Fleece Maiden Lion, a Hornet's Nest, 2 Miscutter Hydra, a Reclamation Sage, and another Dromoka's Command, 2 Surge of Righteousness, 1 Valor Stance, 1 Windstorm, 1 Dragonlord Dromoka, 1 Nissa Worldwaker, 1 Glare of Heresy. Why isn't this Dragonlord Dromoka in the main? What are we trying to get to with our devotion here?
Yeah. I feel like they're trying to go off with either the activated abilities, Nylea's or Mastery of the Unseen. It
or
seems like in the back.
Pelucranus, I guess?
Yeah, Pelucranus as well. I feel like he's more used for a kill spell in these types of decks.
Yeah, but if you can generate a lot of mana.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Just run him over. And, the first thing you said when you were talking about this deck, you said, creatures, first one, Arbor Colossus. That immediately, I know it's a good card, but it immediately goes to the board for me.
No, it stays in because it's a 5 for 6/6 with 3 green.
Yes, but I would put in Dragonlord Dromoka over him.
No, I would take out one of these Mystics. Or one of the Caryatids. You aren't trying to make other colored mana.
Okay.
We
so
don't
you take out
Caryatids.
An Elvish Mystic over it?
Yeah. Like, or I would more appropriately take out the Caryatid. In fact, I might even X the Caryatids altogether and put in an extra Voyaging Satyr. That way you're not competing for that 2-drop.
Okay.
In Dragonlord Dromoka and something else. Like the extra, I don't know, something.
Cool.
Maybe Nissa. Because you have a lot of forests untapped. Because I like untapping forests. Guys, don't get on me about this.
One additional thing I might want to add is Teemer Sabertooth is in here as a one of. Now, Teemer Sabertooth with Arbor Colossus can generate a lot of kill target creature with flying. Because you can bounce the Arbor Colossus and then monstrous him and just kill that creature. On their turn, on your turn, whatever you want to do. So that's pretty cool. People are messaging me. Stop messaging me. I don't want to record. Okay, wait. Coming here first, we just got a message from Jason.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Dick and Bob are asking us to get them details about the higher standards open as soon as possible. So we need to get this hammered out as soon as we can. I asked Dick if he wants to collect an entry fee and pay out beyond whatever we give to first place. I'm going to message back and leave this unedited. We are recording.
Well, we haven't made the higher standards open deal yet, so we should probably edit it out instead of like...
Okay. We are recording. If you can message us, you should be recording too. Alright. Sent. Okay, so as Jason mentioned, we are planning we were going to mention this at the end, but we're planning the higher standards open for the end of July, tentatively. Hopefully nothing changes. I think it should all go down smooth, and Jason continues to message us. He's on an aircraft, everybody, so you can blame Jason for all of this happening. Anyway, going back to Corey Castelli's, I really like the green-white devotion and where he's going with this.
Now I kind of want to play this and just put Jermoka and take out the carry hits and see what happens.
Yeah, this seems really enjoyable. And Jermoka, why not? Because control will heat you.
Now wait, can we take out the Mastery of the Unseen and go really deep and make this Naya with a Tarka too?
I'm sure you can, but then you'll just be calling it dragons.
Green white dragon, Naya dragons. Okay, sure.
There you go.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
So. Finally, in 8th place, labeled as such, is Derek Monk with Mardu Dragons again. He is running...
a slightly different Mardu Dragons.
Yeah, I feel like he's got more spells. Alright, so I'll just run through it. 4 Goblin Rabble Master, 3 Seeker of the Way, 3 Soulfire Grandmaster, 4 Stormbreath Dragon, 4 Thunderbreak Regent, and 2 Kolaghan the Storm's Fury. Spells are 15, he's got 4 Crackling Doom, 4 Draconic Roar, 2 Foul Tongue Invocation, 1 Kolaghan's Command, 1 Murderous Cut, and 3 Thought Seize. In the lands, he's playing 25, 1 Haven of the Spirit Dragon, and 1 Urborg Tome of Yawgmoth are the special lands. Other than that, all the rest are Mardu colors. In the sideboard, he's playing 2 Outpost Siege, 1 Kolaghan's Command, 1 Murderous Cut, 2 Elspeth's Sun's Champion, 4 Anger of the Gods, 3 Duress, and 2 Self-Inflicted Wound. This is, again, a deck that Jason would like. I like how he put Kolaghan's Command in the main instead of in the board. He's got one more in the board, but I like how he's got the option of taking off with it.
Yeah. But so many... Kolaghan's Command is doing so good everywhere else except for Standard.
And I don't know why, because, like we were saying, Soul Fire Grandmaster is... a bomb card, and being able to get that back and making target player discard a card or taking care of one of their creatures is great.
Like, realize this, guys. It is a $10 card that isn't seeing play in Standard. Except for Super Fringely.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's get it up to 15. Let's get that $15. Right? Okay, never mind.
No, I agree with you. I feel like it's an undervalued card that should be just thrown into decks and experimented with. But again, I also feel like Standard right now is becoming wait until Origins releases to completely change the decks. I'm glad that we're seeing a lot of dragon decks now because...
Yeah, and we are seeing different things.
Yeah.
It might not seem like it's hugely different, but there are differences happening.
Agreed. So, Renee, I want you to go over the 11th place deck, if you don't mind, because it's one deck that we haven't seen very often.
All Alright, so we have Andy Ferguson in 11th place with, drumroll please, Team Red Dragons. We've got Savage, 4 Savage Knuckleblade, 4 Stormbreath Dragon, 4 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Thunderbreak Regen, 3 Whisperwood Elemental, 4 Corsair Crucifix. We have 2 Xenagos the Reveler as Planeswalkers. We've got 3 Draconic Roar, 3 Stubborn Denial, 2 Wild Slash, 3 Crater's Claws. And then we've got 24 lands, 2 of which are Haven of the Spirit Dragon, and that's kind of about it for differences.
Mm-hmm.
In the sideboard, we have 2 Den Protector, 2 Encase in Ice, 3 Disdainful Stroke, 2 Wild Slash, 3 Anger of the Gods, and 3 Roast.
So I just wanted to go over this because Teemer is one of those wedges that doesn't get seen as often, and I feel like it's good that it placed really well, placed 11th place, and it's one of those decks that you don't expect to see, and I feel like it's just untouched because of the fact that there's so many substantial wedges out there, not to mention all the devotion decks, but Savage Knuckleblade is just such a bomb of a card.
I almost wonder where the blue dragon is. Icefall Regen.
Yeah. I feel like that card's it's a target and it taps one thing down for at least a turn if it doesn't get killed.
Yeah. It's just so good when they can't kill it.
Yes. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I feel like Dragons has been deemed as 4 Stormbreath and 4 Thunderbreak lately.
It does feel like that, and I do wish that we could see some of the other dragons happen.
Yeah.
Anything else super interesting? No, I don't think so. We have a couple of Esper Dragons. I am so tired of hearing people tell me that Esper Dragons is so much of the meta, and then I'm sitting, like, they're such a tiny part of this list that they gave us.
So, one more I want to hit is 24th place. I think you'll like it.
4 color Megamorph.
Yeah, so we
like Kenneth Williamson.
Yep. So he's running 32 creatures, 4 Deathmiss, 4 Den Protector, 4 Rakshasa Death Dealer, 4 Seder Wayfinder, 4 Siege Rhino, 4 Soul of Theros.
It's a lot of Soul of Theros.
Yeah. 4 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Sidisi Brood Tyrant, which you will always hit a creature with this deck. For spells, he's got only 4 Murderous Cut. In lands, he's got 24 and nothing out of the ordinary. He's running 4 Opulent Palace and 4 Sandstep Citadel to hit all those colors. And yeah, nothing out of the ordinary there. In the board, he's running 1 Arbor Colossus, 2 Dromoka's Command, 3 Heroes Downfall, 2 Dragonlord Dromoka, 3 Drown in Sorrow, 2 End Hostilities, and 2 Thoughtseize. Yeah, so this is pretty interesting. I like the inclusion of Soul of Theros as a full set. Hitting the lands, I don't think he'll have much trouble with.
No, I think he's trying to be base like green-white.
Yeah.
And then be able to have the other ones be more ancillary.
Gotcha.
Because everything taps for green at a minimum. And then your only real difference is
Soul and Murder's Cut.
Well, Soul's not different, because you have the Sea Rhino that needs white as well.
Yeah.
And then Murder's Cut, Sea Rhino, Sidisi, Murder's Cut, they all need black.
Sure.
And Rakshasa. So yeah, I think this is easily doable with it being based in green.
And I wouldn't be surprised if going forward, because of the fact that WotC is slowing down the game because they want more people to get involved in it, and it seems like they don't just want red deck wins, that if we get to hit higher lands on the battlefield, Den Protector with the souls is amazing. Because you can use them, you can just get them back before you have to exile them. If you need to exile them, you can. I feel like she's going to do really well with this.
Yeah, I definitely think it is there because big, why not have a big den protector if you can?
Yeah. Cool. So that was Star City Games Indianapolis Standard Open. Next, we're going to be going, and Renee, I put in the show notes the placing. Next, we're awesome. Going. Yeah, I know it's all messed up on their website, but next is the MTG that Renee mentioned earlier in the show. In
the GP, you mean?
The GP. What is it?
It's all MTG.
Yeah, I don't know what I was talking about.
Both seem really tired.
Yeah. So I blame Father's Day, but yeah. So Renee, you want to take the first one? It is Sky Mason, third yeah. one down.
Who we have learned is an L2.
That's so it. Yeah.
Judges can play, apparently.
When they're not judging.
Yeah. Don't judge and play, guys. We have 4 planeswalkers, 2 Xenagos, 1 Nissa, and 1 Ugin. We have 4 Elvish Mystic, 3 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Rattleclaw Mystic, 4 Corsair Crucifix, 3 Polychronos the World Eater, 4 Whisperwood Elemental, 3 Dragonlord Tarka, 3 Hornet Queen, 4 Genesis Hydra. I did that all in one breath.
Nice.
Alright, and then in lands, we have a lot of the red-green base. We have the Haven of the Spirit Dragon, which is kind of an outlier, and then 3 Nyxos Shrine to Nyx, which is getting, you know, it's devotion, so you would expect that, but it's definitely a little different than,
yeah.
you know, the normal 4 we see. And then in the sideboard, we have a Xenagos the Reveler, 2 Ugin the Spirit Dragon, 2 Hornet Nest, 2 Nylea's Disciple, 2 Nissa World Waker, 2 Plummet, 2 Seismic Rupture, and 2 Arborglosses.
I like Seismic Rupture in this deck.
Yeah. If they're going on the ground, yeah, it definitely works, because it takes out a lot of the tokens and a lot of the smaller guys.
Yeah.
The only downside is that it gets rid of your Mystic, your Rattleclaw. Well, all of your Mystics, all 8 of them, they're gone.
Yeah.
And your Hornet... Well, no, because Hornet Queen has flying. So, yay, Hornet Queen survives.
And if you manifest anything with Whisperwood.
Yeah.
That's the only downfall.
I have a feeling that if you're doing that, you're just looking for the nuclear option anyway.
Yeah. So that was first place. So this is, I guess, a standard package. I think the only interesting inclusion is the 3 Ugins in the deck, which is 1 in the main and 2 in the board, which is kind of confusing to me.
It's a little greedy, I feel.
Yeah. So moving on to second place, we have Neil Sachs, and he was playing Abzan Aggro. Running 4 Anafens of the Foremost, 4 Siege Rhino, 4 Rakshasa Death Dealer, 4 Fleecebane Lion, 2 Warden of the First Tree, 2 Tassiger the Golden Fang, 4 Thoughtseize, 3 Abzan Charm, 3 Dromoka's Command, and 4 Here's Downfall. He's got 26 lands in the Abzan that you would expect. 1 Mana Confluence, and 2 Urborg Tomb of Yawgmoth. Have I said Tome, like, this entire recording?
I don't think so, but maybe.
So it's a book of Yawgmoth. That's what I've been saying the whole time.
Yawgmoth would have some pretty good books, I don't know why.
Gigantic, that people could walk into.
Yeah.
Alright, so in the board, he's got 1 Glare of Heresy, 2 Ultimate Price, 2 Duress, 2 Irration Cleric, 4 Self-Inflicted Wound, 1 Plummet, and 3 Drown in Sorrow. I like the inclusion of 4 Self-Inflicted Wound, because green is a problem. Actually, yeah, green. That's the big problem you have. In third and fourth place, because it's not listed and...
You don't want to figure out all the breakers.
Yeah, how can you understand that?
I don't know. I've had to do it too much.
All right. So...
Pedro.
Yeah, you go over Pedro's.
Pedro, where are you? All right. Pedro Carvalho?
Sounds good.
I think so.
Please tell me
if I'm wrong. It is another 4-color
deck.
I wanted to say whip deck, but the other one wasn't a whip deck. So, here we go. 4 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Slater Wayfinder, 4 Corsair Crucifix, 4 Sadisi Brute Tyrant, 1 Hornet Queen, 3 Dem Protector, 1 Torrent Elemental,
yeah.
2 Dragonlord Atarka, 2 Deathmist Raptor, 1 Sadisi Undead Vizier, 1 Furk of God of Affliction. Then we've got 3 Thoughtseize, 3 Murder's Cut, two Heroes Downfall, and two Whip of Erebos. And then 23 lands. With only one of those being a mana compliment.
Yep.
In the sideboard, we have two more Heroes Downfall, two Dragonlord Slumgar, one Crux of Fate, one Dig Through Time, one Soul of Innistrad, two Disdainful Stroke, two Drown in Sorrow, two Haven of the Spirit Dragon, one Ugin Spirit Dragon, and one Soul Tie Charm.
So, you feel like he just puts in the Dragonlord Slumgar and slams in the Haven of the Spirit Dragon? Or he puts in Dragonlord Slumgar and Ugin and just slams in Haven of the Spirit Dragon?
Yeah.
I find it interesting that he's got a Dig Through Time in the board, and Soul of Innistrad in the board is something that we haven't seen in quite some time.
I like Soul of Innistrad here because if you find out that they have all of the extra artifact paint,
yeah,
then you just bring it in and it's a set, it's another resource because they probably remove something else to put in that artifact paint, which probably isn't capable of killing Soul of Innistrad.
Makes sense.
He's kind of a big dude.
Yeah.
I think he's maybe a zombie land thing dude. Like, he just looks like a walking graveyard.
Yeah, he does.
I wouldn't want to mess with a walking graveyard. And he also, like, he doesn't return them to the battlefield, but he does return them to your hand, which I think is valuable as well.
Agreed.
I don't know why we just don't have... I don't know.
What do you
think? I have an issue with these four colored decks, and that is I can't wrap my head around them.
Is the issue the land, or is it just...
I'm looking at the land, and I'm just... If your whip plan goes awry, even in game one,
yeah,
you're going to be really, really having a hard time.
Okay, so your whole thing is the two whips?
Yeah.
You think it should be more?
Yeah.
So yeah. I've played a deck that's very similar to this. I believe it was Reed Dukes that he played a couple months ago. And... Nowadays, the Den Protector can easily get your whips back. So, that's one of the things. Other than that, if you don't hit the whip, your creatures, like, if you don't hit the whip, you're not gonna, if you've already pitched the whip, let's say, on your second turn to your Seder Wayfinders, let's see, you hit a land, whip, and the Sylvan Caryatid, you're like crying at this point. And, once you get that, you're just like, alright, I'm not casting any more Seder Wayfinders, and I'm just playing a game with the creatures and the spells that I have. And you hope for the best. But Sidisi can find it if you haven't hit it yet. That's one thing. Den Protector can get it back if you've already pitched it to the yard. So I feel like this deck's pretty well-rounded. I like how they put two Dragonlord Atarkas in. Because why not? It's Dragonlord Atarka. And I would have liked to see one of the Dragonlord Slumgars in the main. Because I never felt that Farika was that good in the main. I would always have her in the board. But it took him to the top 8. So, I mean, he did well.
I like Farika in the main.
Yeah?
Yeah, because she's... really kind of easy to turn on here. With how much green. Even if it's only for a turn when you whip back a Hornet Queen, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you probably you have the whip out, so there's 6, 7. So she's on.
Yeah.
And you're going to swing in with the Hornet Queen and Farika at that point.
Okay.
So, you know, I definitely don't think it's bad. You probably have some combination of other creatures out as well.
Gotcha.
So, definitely, I think... now with, like, things like Den Protector and, Den Protector is the big one. Because she is just kind of on the field.
Yeah.
She just, you know, it's a lot easier to get a 5/5 indestructible that doesn't ever die, or at worst is making you death-touching tokens.
Yeah, that's true.
Alright, and what? We've got third, fourth place, also Eric Severson.
Eric Severson was playing Bant Megamorph. So he is running two Planeswalkers, a Johnny Steadfast, and one Elspeth's Sun's Champion. 25 creatures, 4 Elvish Mystic, 2 Sylvan Caryatid, 1 Rattleclaw Mystic, 4 Fleece Mane Lion, 3 Courser of Krufix, 4 Den Protector, 4 Death Mist Raptor, as usual, 3 Dragonlord Ojutai. In instance, he's got 2 Dromoka's Command, 2 Valorous Stance, 3 Disdainful Stroke, and enchantments, 2 Mastery of the Unseen. 24 lands, he's playing 4 Windswept Heath and 2 Mana Confluence. Oh, and 3 Flooded Strand. That's what I was looking for. In the board, he's got 2 Elspeth Sun's Champion, 1 Valor Stance, 1 Disdainful Stroke, 2 Hornet Nest, 1 Negate, 1 Arashan Cleric, 2 Dromoka's Command, 1 Mastery of the Unseen, 1 Plummet, 2 Stratus Dancer, and 2 Glare of Heresy. This is a deck that we don't see much. I feel like...
I don't think we've seen this at all.
Yeah.
I feel like the closest thing I've seen to it is the Band Dragons deck I was playing, where there was also Dromoka's in there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
But Dragonlord Ojutai and a Johnny Steadfast is really good.
Yeah. Can't hate on that. Vigilance on Ojutai is pretty good.
I feel like this is similar to the decks that, the Jeskai decks that were being talked about, that were playing Ojutai, Patrick Dickmon and a few other pros were playing this weekend. Except that it doesn't have the Ojutai command, and the Stratus Dancers are in the side here.
Yeah.
I also wonder, like, if maybe an Ojutai's command in the side wouldn't be a bad plan, instead of the Valorous Stance?
Or in the main.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, replace one for the Disdainful Stroke.
I think Ojutai's command at... Ojutai's command is what, 4 CMC?
Yes.
For what it does, I think it's plenty fairly costed.
Yeah. And Jason would attest to that.
And in this deck, I feel it would be just fine, because you're either playing things on, for the most part, on turn 2,
mm-hmm.
3, or 5.
Yeah.
So, I think that Ojutai's command could be pretty good here. The only thing on turn 4 that I'm seeing really is a Johnny. Which, okay, a Johnny.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you cast him?
If you have a Johnny in your hand instead of an Ojutai's command in your hand, just put a Johnny down. Because then you have the Ojutai's command to do something else with. If they want to waste the removal spell on a Johnny, let them do it.
So what are we going at? We're going at 5th through 8th. We have Steve Rubin is one of the 5th through 8th placed players. He is playing Red Green Dragons,
yep.
And it's pretty stock.
Yeah,
from what we've seen earlier.
Yep. Than anything else. So good job, Steve Rubin. Even in the sideboard, it's kind of we've got Seismic Rupture again and Mob Rule. Mob Rule is kind of the only thing that's really super out there, and maybe Barrage of Boulders. That's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people are just playing those against token decks or mono reds.
But yeah, Mob Rule's kind of cool, and we've seen that more often in sideboards. So, good job. Next, we have Oliver Tew. I gotta find Oliver. There's Oliver. He is playing 5 color dragons.
Here we go.
Another green-based 5 color dragons deck. So we've kind of gone over something similar. But here we have 4 Den Protector, 4 Death Mist Raptor, 4 Dragonlord Ojutai, 3 Dragonlord Slumgar, 1 Dragonlord Tarka, 4 Satyr Wayfinder, 4 Sylvan Caryatid, 3 Courser of Krufix, 4 Thoughtseize, 3 Hero's Downfall, 1 Murderous Cut, 25 lands with 4 Haven of the Spirit Dragon, and Urborg. It's kind of it for the specialness there. In the sideboard, we have a Dragonlord Atarka, 3 Bioblight, 1 Slumgar the Drifting Depths, 2 Duress, 4 Drowned in Sorrow, 2 Dromoka, or Dragonlord Dromoka, I'm sorry, I almost said Dromoka's Command, and then 2 Crux of Fate.
So in 5 Color Dragons, I feel like, I mean, it seems like Kolaghan, the Dragonlord Kolaghan's not getting any love. which is fine, understandable. But I feel like if you're going to play five color dragons, you put Dragon Lord Jamoka in the main.
Yeah, like, you're already having to find white through Ojutai.
Yeah.
Like, just take out an Ojutai and put in a Jamoka.
Yeah, exactly.
At least have four different dragons in your four color dragons.
And I understand that you want to get to Ojutai, because it's the cheapest dragon out of all of them. But having four of them, you've got a very high risk of getting two in your hand early on.
Yeah, two in your hand and no way to really cast it unless you, you know.
Yeah.
I guess you could theoretically hit a Haven really early there, but I don't know if I want to take that risk, I guess.
Makes sense.
You also have the Caryatids, which, you know, you can cast them pretty easily, and the Coursers to help you find the lands. So that's all very nice. Haven, I just realized, is also not legendary, so just put out all the Havens.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of fun.
I don't know why I thought it was legendary.
It's fine, but on MTGO, it's a pain because you click on it and then like this giant selection comes up because it's giving you every possible selection. So it's just funny. Moving on, we have Josh McLean.
And let's see here, where is Josh? Oh, and he is on Abzan Megamorph. 2 Elspeth Sun's Champion, 4 Siege Rhino, 4 Death Mist Raptor, 4 Dem Protector, 4 Courser Crucifix, 4 Cedar Wayfinder, 1 Tassigur the Golden Fang. This really isn't any different than what we have seen with 3 Thought Seize, 2 Crux of Fate, 3 Heroes Downfall, 4 Abzan Charm, 1 Ultimate Brace.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. In the sideboard, the only interesting things is an Ajani Mentor of Heroes and 2 Wingmate Rocks.
Wingmate Rock is pretty interesting to see.
Yeah.
I guess you're bringing that in against
your dragon decks, because having 2 Wingmate Rocks is better than 1.
Yeah. Dragon decks and decks that are, a lot of the devotion decks are usually on the ground before they can get into the sky.
Yeah.
So that's early game. Yeah. This deck seems pretty cool. And Dem Protector with Wingmate Rock is a pretty good thing that I haven't thought about before.
Because, oh yeah, because you just get all the Wingmate Rocks.
Yeah, because she's not getting blocked most of the time.
Ajani Mentor Heroes is kind of cool because then you can put lots of counters on your Dem Protectors.
Yeah, that's kind of broken.
Or whatever else you want. I mean, Siege Rhino has Trample, just put them there.
Finally, in 5th through 8th, we'll just say this is 8th, Raif Ispahan. Playing Reengred. Man, I'm doing horrible tonight. Red-Green Devotion. So, he is basically kind of the same similar thing. List. Yeah. He's got 3 topside Dragon Lord Tarkas, 2 Hornet Queens.
And that's kind of it for interesting.
Yeah, 33 creatures, 3 Planeswalkers. Those are Xenagos in the board.
He's moved his Teemer Sabertooth to the board as well.
Okay.
It is also interesting to see that he has a Sestessen tactic.
Oh, wait, he did what I said. He did, he's got his Arbor Colossus in the board instead of the main, and his Sabertooth is in the board as well. Huh. Mm-hmm.
So you were on to something.
I was, but I think we were talking about,
it was the same green general deck.
We were talking about green-white, I think.
No, it was green-red devotion instead of red-green devotion.
Okay.
I don't know what the difference is. But they have the same creature base to me.
Yeah, so that was the GP, and congrats again to Sky Mason, level 2 judge, which is pretty cool.
Level 2 judge going to the Pro Tour, not judging.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I wonder if that gives you more kudos to become a judge at the Pro Tour.
Right? I don't think so. Well, I mean, maybe if you drop, you can go and be like, hey, can I test for all 3?
Nice. That'd be pretty sweet.
I don't know if that's how it can happen. Do not quote me on that.
So, we're going to move on to spoiled cards. We're going to go over 2 cards that we feel should be spoiled or can be spoiled. And moving on, we're going to have, in later weeks, we're going to have a full spoiler of the best cards we think that we haven't mentioned yet. So, do you have yours picked out, Renee?
I do. I hope they're not.
Well, you go first, and then I'll play.
First, I'm going to do, of course, Dwinen, Giltleaf, Dane.
Nope, not mine.
Also, I didn't think so. This isn't the one I'm worried about. Okay. She is two colorless green-green. She's a legendary elf warrior. She has reach. She's a 3/4. Other elf creatures you control get 1/1. And then whenever she attacks, you gain 1 life for each attacking elf you control.
Yeah.
I don't even care if she isn't standard playable. She's going in every other deck. I don't care. I'm playing modern elves. She's in there.
All right.
I'm playing EDH elves. She's there.
I feel right now she's very much standard playable because of her size.
Yes.
She's a 3/4, so she's going to get around a lot. And once Stoke the Flame leaves, unless they put in something like, unless they reprint it or put in another 4 damage, I feel like she'll be staying here, pumping up the Mystics a lot. And it seems like there's going to be a good amount of elves, including Nissa. Because she's an elf when she first hits the board.
Yeah, and then there's also a lot of elves on Zendikar.
Oh, very true, very true.
At least that's how it seemed with Nissa going to Zendikar. So.
The only downside I have to her is she's legendary, yes, which kind of stinks. There were other lords that were not legendary, and they obviously saw a lot more play. But she's also in the realm of Brutal Horchief, where Brutal Horchief is 4 mana. He kind of did a little better of this. Granted, he wasn't a lord, but you could play multiple of him, and he hasn't seen that much play.
Yeah. I do think it depends. Like, Black doesn't necessarily want to do the things that Brutal Horchief does.
True.
So that makes it a little bit difficult to have him in a spot, whereas Green loves to do these kinds of things.
Just cast creatures.
Yeah, cast creatures and then gain life off of those creatures seems good.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know what impact she'll have. I think she's really cool. A 3/4 for 4 with reach is certainly not terrible. And for the little bit of time that it's around, she enables devotion really well.
That's very true.
So, I like her. I know y'all are going to poo-poo on me, but I like her.
Devotion elves can be a thing.
Can be. I won't make it. do you want to do one now?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the one that I want to go over, as I alluded to earlier, is Chandra's Ignition. It's 3 red-red. It's a rare sorcery. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to each other creature and each opponent. So, like I was saying earlier, Ojitai's Hexproof, and this is something that gets around that. If you target one of your Hornets that were made by a Hornet Nest or Hornet Queen, then basically it's a board wipe if the board's filling up too much. And right now with Whisperwood Elemental and the Green Devotion decks, the boards get filled pretty quick. So I feel like this could be one of those cards that could show up pretty good.
I think so. I think it's a tool that Red hasn't quite had.
Yeah.
And it's fairly costed for Red as well. It's not necessarily that early game burn, but it is certainly that burn that will close out the game depending on what creature you have.
Yep.
Damage equal to its power. So if you swing in with a really big Rabblemaster, and then in the second main phase, the Rabblemaster maintains that power, I believe, until end of turn.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he doesn't die, then you're good to go.
Yeah, and it's game over most of the time. Or it's a lightning axe to the face. Or lightning axe? Or is that a lava axe? Lava axe to the face. I really like this card. I would put it more in a multicolor deck, obviously with green. And this can go really well in green red devotion, because why not do it on a Polukranos and just, after he gets big, you can just throw him at your opponent, because that's what this does. So yeah.
All right.
What's yours?
The second one I have is Patron of the Valiant.
Color?
White?
Not mine. It's definitely not mine. I haven't even looked at this one yet. Go ahead.
Patron of the Valiant is 3 colorless and 2 white. She is an angel, because we don't have male angels except for Ali and Trazzy.
That's true. That was an awesome token.
Wasn't it though?
Yeah.
I really like that they incorporated this kid in for it.
Yeah, I heard that he requested.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
She has flying. When she enters the battlefield, put a 1-1 counter on each creature you control with a 1-1 counter on it. She's a 4-4.
Yeah, she's the better Sarah Angel right now.
Yeah, and so I hate to say it that I love this card, and it might actually make me play Heroic.
Oh, wow. Alright.
I absolutely love this card, and it might make me play Heroic. That's really bad. But I get to put 1-1 counters on things that have 1-1 counters on them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I don't even care about the enchantments, just put 1-1 counters on everything. And then, well, I don't know if the ability... Trevor, does the patron... Does it trigger Heroic on top of putting the 1-1 counters?
I don't think it targets.
No, okay. No, it doesn't target. That's what the difference is. Okay. But still, I mean, it's gorgeous art. It's just, it's wonderful. I like it. It's by Steve Argyle. I love Steve Argyle's art. It's, I want an Angel Modern deck with Archangel Athun now. Make it happen, some brewer.
Alright, my next card goes well with my last card spoiled, is Zendikar Incarnate. And this is the first gold card that has been revealed. It is 2 red-green. Creature elemental. It's an uncommon. Its power and toughness are *4. And it's asterisk because Zendikar Incarnate's power is equal to the number of lands you control. So, I feel like this with Nissa, first of all, because she's fetching for you. And the fact that everything's become a little slower than normal is, this is going to be a really good card. I don't know if it's going to see standard play. It's going to be excellent and limited. There's no doubt about that. But it's one of those cards that combines really well, or it's one of those cards that is an easy takeaway, a kill spell from their deck because they want to take care of it.
So I think that this is kind of important to mention, where this is the first multicolored card that isn't a mythic or rare that we've had in a core quote-unquote set.
Oh, okay.
I also wonder if... So we have Zendikar Incarnate, and we know that we're going to Zendikar both in a future block and because it's the first place that Nissa walks to. If we're going to get some sort of uncommon multicolored card that will encompass, like, the full cycle.
All 10. Each area?
Okay. Yeah, and all 10 areas.
That'll be pretty cool.
I think it would be a really neat thing. They like to make these cycles like this. Yeah. I don't quite know how that's going to work, so I might be completely off. But it's really neat. I like it a lot. I think it'll go really well in red-green decks, as just even as a blocker before you get a Tarker down.
Cool.
So, yeah. I was talking about this card with Trevor and was like, this is everything I could want. This should have all the lands down.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Alright, so those were our 2 spoiler cards. Speaking of spoilers, we asked last week in our poll, which we will not be having this week due to it just being Renee and I, and time constraints. Last week it was, what card would you like to see reprinted in Origins? We got 16 answers, which is awesome, so thanks everybody.
And I was a pillock and forgot to put in name.
No problem. The fact is that, I mean, maybe one or more person answered multiple times, but it doesn't matter. It's just fun that we are able to talk about all these people's answers. If you hear yours, just give yourself a shout out as you're driving or if you're riding in the bus.
Pat on the back.
There you go. Just don't make it awkward to the people that are watching you.
No, make it all the awkward. This is the best social experiments. Make it awkward for everyone else and just be proud of yourself.
True. So which ones did you like, Renee?
So I wanted to talk about Birds of Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know if we're going to get a Birds of Paradise reprint, since it is stipulated that we're getting a Leaf Gilder reprint.
What is that?
Leaf Gilder is one and a green. It was originally seen in the lore when block, so it would make sense here. It's a 2/1, and it's an Elvish Mystic. That's just a little bit bigger.
Okay.
So it taps for green. They typically don't want to overwhelm the core sets with mana dorks, even though that is typically where we get our mana dorks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it would be a little... I don't think we will see a Birds reprint.
Yeah, right now with Sylvan Caryatid, I feel like Birds getting introduced would... It would be green in every deck. Not that we don't see that more often than not, but this would definitely push it through the roof. Green would have the fastest ramp possible in any standard block that has ever been seen.
Something else that I wanted to actually touch on, and I actually need to look this card up. I wanted to talk about it because I thought of something. So you go over one.
Sure. So I liked that I like two cards that one person said Stone Rain, and I think that would be amazing because land destruction has been so little, even though I believe they said that they don't want that much in the game anymore. And Dark Ritual, which again is a card that right now would be completely broken because a first turn Liliana would be pretty crazy. What else? We've got Garrick. Because we know that we're getting Nissa, she's going to be our Planeswalker, and this particular person wanted Garrick. Chain Lightning would be pretty cool. Somebody else said Royal Assassin, and that would take me back. That would be pretty fun shenanigans. Another person said Path to Exile. Go ahead.
Yeah, Path to Exile I could see maybe happening. Maybe. We need some Exile effects.
So didn't they spoil one? That was going to be one of the...
F&M promos.
F&M promos, yeah.
Which is at the time... Yeah, I think so. July, okay. Yeah. Which at the time they framed as it's one of the F&M promos because of Modern Masters.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're also getting Scry's and Evergreen mechanics, so Serum Visions, why not? We also have Fires of Yavimaya.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about this one because it's never been seen in a core set before, and we've had it in a bunch of supplementary product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a multicolored enchantment, which I think kind of puts it on the very low probability end. But at the same time, we are going back to Dominaria, where Yavimaya is located, so why the hell not? However, at the same time, we're also going back to Dominaria because of Liliana, who's black, so I don't know the likelihood of getting a red-green enchantment either.
Gotcha.
But I really like Fires of Yavimaya. It's kind of cool. It's one red-green, and creatures you control have haste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the second part?
And then Sacrifice Fires of Yavimaya. Target creature gets 2/2 until end of turn.
I think that would also be pretty broken right now. Because Fires of Yavimaya, then a Dragonlord of Tarka would...
Yeah.
10-10. Hooray!
10-10, hasty, let's go.
Yeah.
I gave Trevor a heart attack, apparently, by talking about how Fires of Yavimaya.
Did you say it could be reprinted, or...?
But yeah, he's like, the card defines standard. I don't think you understand.
So, another...
He's sitting here fanning himself. I think he's got the vapors.
Nice. So, another person said they'd be happy to see Blood Artist return. I think that would be ridiculous.
We need a SAC outlet.
Okay, I definitely agree that we need a SAC outlet, but
We're getting Blood Artist, we need a SAC outlet.
Blood Artist would be crazy right now. See,
it would be so good with whip decks.
Yeah, that's very true. And right before that, we had an answer of the Titan Cycle or Baneslayer Angel. And I loved the Titan Cycle when they did it. I hope they go back to doing that because right now it might seem like a bit much because you'll have a whole Titans versus Dragons thing. And
can we put Titans on Dragons?
No, you cannot because I think they're both like equal in size.
They're both equal in size. Do the Titans just kind of reach up and pull a dragon down?
I bet it could be possible, but we're getting into like imaginative Vorthos right now.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, and, you know, it'd be cool to see a Titan riding a dragon.
And right now, Primal Titan would be pretty crazy. In
prime time.
Yeah. So we want to thank everybody for their answers. Again, we're not going to be having a question this week, but look forward to one next week. And
if somebody has something they want to ask and they throw it up in the Facebook group, I will happily make a poll.
Oh, there you go.
Let's put that out there. You know, if there's more than one person, we'll have to see what happens. I might pick the best one in my mind. But if somebody has something that they're dying to get feedback on, that is, like, really simple, like the ones we have been doing and not, you know, decks, I'll do it.
Yeah. All right, so heard it here first. Renee is going to make a poll if you give her the poll to make. So, I think we've talked a lot about Standard. And what do you think, Renee?
I think it's getting interesting again as we're getting more events.
Yeah. And I love watching coverage. That's just one thing. Like, you can play Magic the Gathering online as much as you want, but being able to see people playing in person is always fun to watch.
Oh yeah. Like I've said a lot of times, the biggest part of the game to me is going and being social and seeing other people.
Yeah. So, any shout-outs you want to give for now? As we close out?
We're going to do the one for Gamers Vault.
Yep.
Because Dick Burns did fantastically at GP Charlotte, coming in 29th place. So good on him. I feel like we talked about that before, though.
We did, but we can reiterate just because they haven't opened yet.
Yeah, and they are opening this Friday. This coming Friday. So if you are in Medford, New Jersey, do go.
Yes.
Check them out. Give them support.
Friday, June 26th. And on the 4th of July, they're having a free Standard 1K. Again, we mentioned this last week, but we'll probably be plugging this each week because we're supporting the store and the support supporting us. And on July 4th, they're doing a free Standard 1K. So feel free to take your best Standard deck and see how you do. It's completely free, and there are places around to eat that will cost money. That won't be free. But good luck.
We will also be doing tentatively on, we said July 25th, correct?
July 25th, yes.
Tentatively, we are going to be doing a Higher Standards Open, which is just kind of this fun little thing. We don't know a lot of details yet. We're still hashing them out. I know Trevor will be there. I'll be there. You'll be there.
Yep.
Jason will be there. We're also going to be doing a raffle. I know one of the things we have that'll be going up in the raffle, we'll figure it out. There will be a tropical island leaving with somebody that day.
That's pretty sweet.
So that's pretty awesome. And the raffle that we're going to be doing, the proceeds will go towards a mental health organization. I'm not sure if it's going to be NAMI or somebody else. I'm still doing some research.
Mm-hmm.
Because mental health in the Magic community just isn't something that's talked about a lot, and we want to, you know, make people aware. If you want in on the raffle and you can't come to Medford, well, maybe we'll try and figure something out for you to do it that way. I don't know what we're doing as prize support for the open yet. I think that's one of the things that needs to get hashed out.
Yeah, we'll have a lot. I've had a deck or a box of Dragons of Tarkir sitting on my desk that I've wanted to open for over a month now, so we need to get rid of it.
We don't know what the cost will be or if there will be a cost.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that everyone will be there, and Gamers Vault will treat everyone right because they don't have a choice.
And they do.
So definitely tell your friends to mark their calendar down for the 25th and the 4th as well. If you are in the area, remember it's free to get into New Jersey. You just have to pay to leave.
I hate that.
They want to keep you there.
Everybody come in, and now we've got you.
Yeah, we've got you forever.
Come in, spend your money, and then don't leave us. probably going to take the rest of your money forever.
Yeah, just about. That's what it feels like sometimes.
Yeah. All right, so enough about New Jersey. this has been another Higher Standard Podcast, episode 28.
I think that's it. So we can say bye. Bye.
See ya.